Welcome to The Woodshed with Cody Wood on the Equus Radio Network, where some amazing guests stop in, share their stories, and have a few laughs along the way. From the rodeo road to everyday life, it's all part of the ride. Here's your host, Cody Wood.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome once again here to Las Vegas, Nevada. This is day four, round number four now of the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo, and just continuing to have just an amazing rodeo, an amazing NFR out here, and the opportunity to continue to meet with some great people, and that continues to go on again here with our next guest here this morning on round number four, brought to you here by none other than Visit Cheyenne, one of the great communities in the entire United States, and for a multitude of reasons, but especially here when we're at the NFR, you know, there's very few cities that drive the needle and are more, you know, aggressive and progressive when it comes to wanting to change the rodeo world and continue to bring in more rodeo fans and things of that nature. And so I'm excited to bring in here our special guest here today, Mr. Jim Walter, here with Visit Cheyenne. Jim, thank you so much for being here, man.
Cody, it's great to see you again. Glad to be on. Thanks for having us this morning.
Yep. I know I had to go all the way a couple states over here not to catch up. But it's
funny. I've had a couple of different meetings, probably at least four different people from Cheyenne while here in Vegas, because that was the time on the calendar that we were merging together and like, all right, we're in Vegas. Let's get together and meet.
So, yeah, that's right. I know. But you're awfully busy. You got a lot going on with Visit Cheyenne. I mean, obviously with all things Cheyenne, but you know, particularly rodeo, you know, I mean, and just the Western way of life. And I'm so proud to be from Cheyenne and you guys, you know, embodying our Western heritage and Western lifestyle and everything you've done over the last few years has just really started to come to fruition. And you can see it on a large scale now. I mean, between, you know, the Hell on Wheels rodeo series, the Frozen Fury, obviously everything involved with the Cheyenne Frontier Days, but tell us a little bit about what's going on in 2026 now.
Sure. We're heading into the 130th Cheyenne Frontier Days, which is really hard to imagine and think about. And seems just like, you know, a couple years ago, Garth Brooks was there celebrating 125th, and now we're moving into the 130th. And they announced their lineup here last week, and they got a great lineup of night shows, and they've added a 10th rodeo on that first Friday afternoon. So we're just seeing such an explosion in the interest in Western sports and Western heritage. And you know, a lot of us, you know, we refer to that Yellowstone effect of that really brought it back to the public forefront. But we've been doing it, you know, Yellowstone or not, for our entire history in Cheyenne.
Yeah,
and,
that's right.
You know, the daddy of them all with that rodeo. And then, you know, during the pandemic, we started at Visit Cheyenne, our own rodeo series. They had canceled Cheyenne Frontier Days in 2020. And we sat in the office and said, I really, really can't imagine what, you know, a year without rodeo would be like in Cheyenne. So we threw together three outdoor rodeos. Governor Mark Gordon, one of the great governors in this country, he said, you know, you can still have outdoor rodeos as long as you do it about half capacity. And that's, but we didn't have to count the contestants, which was really helpful. So lots of contestants, and man, that's blown up. We're going into year number, year number seven of the Hell on Wheels rodeo series this year. And you know, I never would have thought, you know, I'm just a dairy farmer from upstate New York that moved west and never would have thought I'd be involved in producing and running rodeos. And I still maybe get a little bit of imposter syndrome when somebody asked me we were over at Tacos and Beer the other day, what do you do? I said, well, I'm running a little rodeo series in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And I still, it's like, I pinch myself. That's a pretty cool thing to do. So
it is a cool thing to do. And not only are you doing it, but you guys are doing it at a really high level. I've been privileged enough to be able to be a part of the rodeo a few different times, quite a few times, and announcing it, and just really proud just to be even from Cheyenne and everything that you guys are doing, and you know, the success that you had from Hell on Wheels, you know, and we'll kind of dig into Hell on Wheels a bit further and the money and some of the successes that we've had in that series that you guys have had. But then the Frozen Fury, you know, so we're going in would be the third year, I believe, right? The Frozen Fury this February.
Coming in third year. We started that a couple of years ago. You know, Cheyenne built this beautiful indoor arena. And one of the things that they did to get it passed by the voters is they said, this is going to be a place where we can have indoor rodeo. Well, you know, as you know, inflation, things happen, not enough money to put the rodeo pieces in it when it came time to finalize the plans. So it took a couple of years, and we collaborated with the county commissioners in Laramie County, and we're able to get them to front the money for the indoor rodeo pieces. And Visit Cheyenne said, we're going to put on a couple of events for you. And it's been a great addition to the community. So the Saturday before the Super Bowl, We do a saddle bronc futurity, and we bring in 10 stock contractors. They bring three horses apiece, and we have 20 young saddle bronc riders who come in, and you know, we pay out. We had 4,000 to each one, and the stock contractors. You know, for us, it was great because, you know, at a futurity, you know, they came in and they pay us basically. You know, they put their $1,000 in, and then they, you know, that goes into the prize money back to them. So, you know, we're not having to pay for outs on bucking horses, which helped us. And like, how do we get this event off the ground after we've gone to the well with a lot of different sponsors? You know that, you've done sponsorship work. Sometimes it's a little tough.
Yeah.
And that really allowed us to be able to do that. And then to be able to add another 4,000 into their pot, and then their 4,000 into the Cowboys. You know, we'll pay out, you know, somewhere in the vicinity of $20,000 just, you know, on a Saturday night in old Cheyenne. So it's a good time. And
In February of all time,
you know, perfect. And in the long go, it can be a 4 or 5 year old bucking horse. And in the short go, it's a 5 year old bucking horse. So it's getting crucial outs for these horses that, you know, get them out in front of a crowd in a small setting. And, you know, we saw it with, you know, a couple of barrel horses the other night, their first time in the Thomas and Mack. That's intimidating as all heck for some of those horses. So,
yeah. You
know, it's good for all the way around. And these young Cowboys, you know, yeah, you can get on some practice horses all you want. But again, that adrenaline of being in a competition and going out there, and, you know, with both the Frozen Fury and the Hell on Wheels Rodeo, for us, it's about that next generation rodeo star. And it's how do we get these kids to get their PRCA card. You know, it's one of the things we're proud of. You know, our breakaway roping is WPRA affiliated. So we've had a couple of young ladies get, you know, fill their permit at the Hell on Wheels Rodeo. And that's so cool to me when I go to a PRCA rodeo, you know, whether it's up in Steamboat or, you know, over in Laramie or down in Douglas County, and you see these names like, yeah, they rode in our rodeo. Colton Kaufman, who won the Mountain States Bull Riding this year. He's 2-time Hell on Wheels bull riding champion.
Yep.
And that, we take a lot of pride in that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a lot of where I was going to go to with it, you know, and Colton's a prime example, you know, like I said, a 2-time Hell on Wheels champion. And now I believe he's number 31 in the world, you know, and
had a heck of a Pendleton Roundup, which we were real proud of him for. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's a good kid.
Yeah.
I mean, he is as good as they come. And so really excited about him and honestly about a lot of bull riders specifically from our little pocket of the country coming up here in the next 3-4 years. But yeah, I mean, that's exactly, like you said, the breakaway. Every time I've ever been there and had the opportunity to announce a Hell on Wheels, the breakaway is always tough. I mean, we've gone sub 2 seconds multiple times when I've been there and you know, they're rolling. And then you said, like I said, I feel the same way, you know, if I go to another pro rodeo somewhere else and those are names that I had the opportunity to announce there at a Hell on Wheels. And now here they are at a pro rodeo that I'm at. I noticed it. I take note of it. And you guys and the Delancey family, you know, have put in so much work, not just on the rodeo side of things and ensuring that there's good quality money, good quality, you know, stock and everything else. But then for the fans, you know, you've got kind of a chuck wagon dinner and everything that goes before that. And then just the experience that they have from the moment they get there to the moment they leave, you know, I'm just really thrilled about every time I'm there and they seem to be having fun. The crowd's packed every time. I mean, you guys have been doing a great job on the other end of the arena as well.
It's, you know, and that's really where that Visit Cheyenne piece comes in. And my wife's got a company, Boots on the Ground Productions, which does, you know, we call it the soft side of things. It's the sponsor fulfillment. It's the ticket sales. It's the customer service. It's making sure the food trucks are there and set up. And you know, it's a little bit different structure than a lot of rodeos in that we really don't have a rodeo committee. We're moving a little more toward that model, you know, getting some things taken care of to set up the future of the rodeo. But yeah, we do a chuck wagon dinner, and it is so cool. And I always do a, you know, 5-minute, you know, on the microphone, thank people from coming. I ask them to raise their hands, you know, if it's their first time at a rodeo. And we have about 150 people in that chuck wagon dinner, and I'd say about 100 of them are raising their hands saying it's their first time at a rodeo. And that is so cool to us, but it's also a big responsibility to make sure that the product they see is an on fire product, that they're really enjoying it. It's moving along. God forbid something happens in the arena where, you know, maybe a cowboy gets hurt, you know, that we're doing things the right way there, because that's the impression they're going to take with them. We want them to go back to Arkansas or New York or Vermont or Italy and say, we went to this rodeo in Cheyenne, and oh my God, if you ever get a chance to go to a rodeo, you have got to go to a rodeo. And maybe, you know, that local rodeo on Friday night that they've always just heard about, you know, 20 minutes, half an hour from their home back in their home state. Now they're going and supporting that rodeo because they had such a great time out west.
Yeah, definitely. And that's exactly how it works. You know, it's exactly how it works. You give them a good positive experience and then they will return, and then word of mouth and spread. And that's where, like, you know, from myself personally as an announcer, that's why I take it so seriously too, you know, because you have the opportunity to educate and do it in an exciting way and ensure that they're leaving there with a smile on their face. And you guys are doing all of that. And then some, you know, they're at the Hell on Wheels. And then even as far as our local community too, you know, I know every time I'm there, there's always folks that are there, you know, from the community having family night and different things as well. But we have such a great nucleus of rodeo athletes with inside our, you know, they're not, you don't have to go too far to get some really good rodeo athletes. And it has really put up a great platform for them.
Well, and to see that growth there as well. I mean, you know, having announced that rodeo, you'll be on a June night, you'll be doing slack till midnight because you got so many breakaway ropers, so many barrel racers. You know, the tie down ropers this year, we had bigger numbers in the tie down ropers than we've ever had. I can only get 10 breakaway ropers in the perf. You know, I can only get 8 barrel racers in the perf. And then, you know, we're getting 35, 40 signing up for the rodeo. And you know, that says a lot about the guys out at Laramie County at their fairgrounds. You know, that ground is fantastic ground. You know, we heard it from the you always know what your ground's like. Just, you know, barrel racers are always struggling with the ground wherever they go. It's, you know, what's good for your horse may not be good for my horse. And but the consistency of the ground that we've got out there, the barrel racers have been so happy. We had a rough summer with rain this year. You know, sounds funny when you live in the high desert, but yeah. You know, we had every Friday afternoon, it decided it wanted to dump 2 inches of rain on that arena. And, you know, we had barrel racers that, you know, some of them were turning out, but then there's other barrel racers on our social media saying, guys, that ground actually runs better when it's muddy. So, you know, your horses are going to have good footing. You're going to be fine, which is so cool to hear. And then the growth this year on the rough stock side of things, you know, we paid out some big money in that first rodeo this year. You know, we went a whole season in 2024 without riding a bull. So that money just kept rolling over. And so that first rodeo this year, we had some good bull riders that were chasing a, you know, like a $4,000 payday on the first weekend of the rodeo. And, you know, but to see the growth, we had full saddle bronc sections this year, you know, 8-10 saddle bronc riders at every single rodeo. And, you know, and that's an area where, you know, any kid can go out and break away rope and, you know, they run their pattern in the barrels. You know, it's accessible to anybody, but not anybody can get on a bull. Not anybody can get on a bucking horse. Yeah. You know, that dangerous.
Sure.
So to see that, you know, among the rough stock riders that they know that we've got good animals for them to get under. That they can come up and show up in Cheyenne on a Friday night and walk out of there with $600-$700 check. You know, that's great.
Yeah, for sure. And that the stock is right, you know, and allowing them to build their blocks as well and get to that next level. And so, you know, so that the, you know, they're in Cheyenne as a whole, you know, and like I said, I got to go back to the Frozen Fury for a second too. I mean, you know, I just absolutely love the animal side of things, right? And the development of them as well. And like you said, you talked about the opportunity for these young bucking horses to get under some of the bright lights and to have some of, I mean, there are some of the top echelon of bronc riders that make it to the Frozen Fury. You know, the ones that maybe not might be a whole household name yet, but they're about to be, you know. And I was so impressed with how good of a bronc riding that was. And it's just so much fun, right? You have standalone bull ridings all the time, obviously, which I absolutely love bull riding as well. But to focus on one of the great events, one of the greatest aspects of all of rodeo, and have it be the focal point, the feature, and the long round into a short round, I think that's sky's the limit for the Frozen Fury as well.
You know, we're going to continue to keep doing this bronc futurity, but, you know, I would love to get an extreme bronx event out at Cheyenne. And, you know, we sponsor Brody Crest. Brody's from Hillsdale, right outside Cheyenne, such a great kid and a great partner to work with. And, you know, we keep talking with Brody about, wow, what can we do? What can we put together? And we've got some ideas and just it's a matter of finding the time to, you know, get ourselves in the same room and figure some things out. But I think, you know, the future of that's real bright in, again, these standalone events, they're really becoming bigger and bigger. I mean, that whole Extreme Bronx circuit is, a big part of the summertime now. Hosting Extreme Bulls at Cheyenne Frontier Days last year. I mean, they bucked 40 bulls in 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was just bull after bull after bull. And it was a lot of fun to watch. It was high pace, great action. And, they won, the Extreme Bull event of the year, PRCA, the other night. So for their first time pulling that off and doing it, that just says a lot about the volunteers out there at Cheyenne Frontier Days and just the vast amount of rodeo knowledge in the community to do things like that.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, they did a fantastic job with that Extreme Bulls and like, looking forward to them, because like I said, that was just their first year. I mean, it's just going to go up from there. And I know that, on the Cheyenne Frontier Days side of things and that you're not directly connected to some of those pieces, but, like I said, 130 years. And I got to ask, right, being a resident of Cheyenne, you see groundbreaking there on the new Indian Village and things like that. What's in store for that new area?
That's going to be so cool. The Native Americans, the Indians have been part of Cheyenne Frontier Day since day one. And we've got great partnerships with the Northern Arapaho and Shoshone tribes. They come down, they tell their stories, they keep that culture and heritage alive. And we're doing right by them, by this beautiful new, are calling it Morning Star. God, it's got a long name. Morning Star Native American Indian Village. and the beautiful thing about it is they've done it in collaboration with the tribes. It's just not some architect saying, this would be cool. Everything is done with a purpose and done, to help them tell their story, tell their heritage. The Plains Indians, be great. It'll be great representation for them. And when you're running 500,000 people through Cheyenne Frontier Days, again, you talk about the visitor to Cheyenne, a lot of those people, this is maybe their first interaction, maybe the only interaction they have to with that Native American culture. If you're coming from places out east, it's not as prevalent as it is in the west. So, it's going to be really a brand new dance arbor. And then year round, it'll be open and it'll have interpretive signage that'll tell people the story of the Plains Indians. And it's just going to be, what we hope to see in Cheyenne with, Cheyenne Frontier Days and the tribes that have worked with us on, that it becomes kind of a sacred place that, people can go and experience and kind of get in touch with, nature and our Native American roots and things like that. So it's really exciting to see that come together.
Yeah, and you could see the construction coming together. I mean, it's going to be obviously a focal point and really a great couple steps up from what it's been. I mean, I always loved that little village and everything that it always brought. But, like I said, this having this little bit extra exposure.
You get a July monsoon rainstorm and the old Indian village had 6 inches of water.
Yeah.
And it was always tough. So better spaces for the vendors. Better spaces, for a year-round event center in there as well. So, they do a ton of weddings over in the headquarters building that's got their event center. And now they've got another one that's going to, maybe smaller weddings, things like that, meetings. For us over at Visit Cheyenne, those are all important assets to have in the community year-round.
Yeah, absolutely. And so when you're talking about, different centers, different places, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask, as we're, article went out the other day, right? Kind of sent some shockwaves through the rodeo world of the possibility or the conversation started of, the PRCA, the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame, being in Colorado Springs for decades now and the possibility of finding a new home in Cheyenne, Wyoming. So how's the conversations going with that? Anything you can tell us there?
It's interesting. It's worst kept secret in rodeo right now. but we've been talking, some of the people in our community have been talking with the PRCA about the opportunity to move the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame and their headquarters to Cheyenne. There's certain issues in Colorado in general and Colorado Springs that have them out there looking to see, okay, what are our options, where can we go? And as a community, we've rallied behind and said, yeah, we would love to have the PRCA in Cheyenne, Wyoming. I mean, rodeo is the official state sport. We're the only state that holds a breakfast for its cowboys and cowgirls that have made the NFR, and we have a blast with that. We live and breathe rodeo, and they've got some ideas and plans that, man, if the whole thing comes together, a real game changer for Cheyenne, a real game changer for cowboys and cowgirls that are out on the road. I get excited about these things. Same time, it's not across the finish line. There's a lot of work to be done. A lot of considerations the PRCA has too, we're hoping for it. We're supporting it. We're doing everything we can to give them the data they need and the support they need from a tourism standpoint and a community standpoint. And we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, well, I can't wait to hear more about it. Like I said, I mean, it's been, you know, such a staple down there, and it's home in a sense, but and not just because I'm from Cheyenne, but, you know, like I said, the opportunity to be at an intersection of I-25 and I-80 and just the Cheyenne Frontier Days alone and what that might do for the traffic of the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame, I think would be outstanding. And so I'm looking for more of that. But, you know, like I said, I'm so, you know, appreciative of all the work and things that you guys have done to keep our heritage. And like you said, you know, rodeo being the official sport of our state and that sort of thing. But like I said, you grew up in you know, upstate New York and Buffalo. What was your background coming into this to allow you to have some of the success so early?
I grew up on a dairy farm, and my brother ended up going into agriculture. My dad he graduated college, started the trainee program with, at the time, it was the Agriculture Stabilization and Conservation Service. It's FSA now, but dad never worked for anybody but FSA his whole career. So I grew up with a real strong agriculture background. We always had a beef cow that we were raising for ourselves and pigs, things like that. So, but, you know, rodeo wasn't a big thing out in New York State at the time. There were a few around, but it was more of a, you know, kind of a, almost like a circus, three-ring circus type feel to it then. And, yeah, you know, it's like, oh, this is interesting. Let's go check out this rodeo thing. And I always joke when I moved out here, I can't rope calf to save my life, but I can back a manure spreader into a 10-foot wide dairy barn, which comes in handy at the boat ramp, and it comes in handy now that my daughter, she just wrapped up 5 years as a dandy with Cheyenne Frontier Days, so that come in handy backing horse trailer in a lot of times.
Yeah, you know? For sure.
Not my first rodeo.
Exactly.
So, you know, I grew up out there, and I wanted to be a sports broadcaster. And I went to school, this little tiny school out in Western New York, St. Bonaventure University, and which ironically isn't far from Alfred State University. In New York, for people who don't know, has this rich ag heritage. You know, people think Manhattan, and you know, that's just this tiny little bit of New York. You start driving north and you drive out toward Syracuse and Utica, and you know, you've got dairy farms and horse farms and beef farms and a lot of grains. Great wine country up there as well. It's a really rich agricultural area. Uh-huh. And so... lots of, you know, the state university system's got several land grant colleges. I mean, Cornell University, you think of it as Ivy League, but that's a land grant school, you know, much as, you know, a Penn State or a Nebraska or a University of Wyoming. So you've got this rich ag heritage. And, you know, we'd been out there. I got into tourism. I was doing radio ad sales. I did get a chance to do my dream job. I had a chance to broadcast baseball for the Altoona Curve down in Altoona, Pennsylvania for a summer. And so I always say I did get a chance to do my dream job, but you know, I was leaving the ballpark at midnight and back at the radio station at 5 a.m. as a 22-year-old who didn't know any better than to not go to the bar after he left the ballpark. So yeah. I was, you know, dragging by the end of that summer and not making very much money at all. And so I got into the radio ad sales side of things, moved back to Syracuse, and September 11th happened, and I lost my ad sales job. And by, you know, pure luck, hooked on with the Syracuse Chamber of Commerce for a couple of years selling memberships. And I was at a picnic one day, and the local congressman's wife said, "Hey, what are you doing with your future?" And I said, "Well, so I'd like to run a chamber of commerce someday." And she's like, "Well, Madison County, which was the next county over, is looking for a tourism director." And I said, "Oh, well, I'll put in for it." And I put in, and they had five finalists. I was the only one they didn't know. You know, small town, small community, they knew everybody else, and I was kind of the wild card. And, you know, you wish you know these things, you know, when you're negotiating your pay package. But, you know, apparently when I left the room, one of the local antique dealers says, "I don't care what it takes. We need him to come lead our organization." So if I'd known that, I'd have negotiated a little harder. Yeah. But, you know, that got me into tourism. That was 23 years ago. And we moved out to Cheyenne in 2013. Things are happening in New York. You know, I have this real love for the state. I have no love lost for what goes on in Albany and in the politics there. And, you know, and it's funny, you know, when I was in New York, I thought I was a right wing, you know, conservative. And I move out to Wyoming. I'm like, well, no, maybe I'm a Democrat. I didn't change. My location changed. And you meet guys like Governor Dave Friedenthal, who, you know, the last Democratic governor of Wyoming. Uh-huh. And, you know, he's further to the right than George Pataki, who he was a conservative lion in New York State. Yeah, so it's funny how that works. Yeah. And, you know, people's like, oh, that's a big change moving from New York to to Cheyenne. And I said, yeah, your cows don't have any white spots on them. What's going on with that? Yeah. Not usually broke the ice. I said, oh, this isn't a city kid that's moving out here. And it's like, I grew up hunting, fishing, doing all those things. You had the run of, you know, it's back in the day where your neighbor in dairy farms, they didn't care. Go ahead, come out and, you know, shoot those whitetails. They're eating my soybeans or they're eating my corn. They're wrecking my, you know, our forage. So come out there and shoot as many as you can. And so just grew up with such a great way to grow up, you know, small town America, and just gave a great base. And we were looking, you know, our daughter was in kindergarten at the time, and New York had just passed what they called the SAFE Act, which was their big gun control bill, which took my Ruger 10/22 and made it illegal because the magazine held more than 7 bullets.
And oh, man.
This is my woodchuck hunting gun.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it wasn't so much the gun control law, it was how they did it. You know, they passed it in the middle of the night by an emergency procedure. And I, you know, I had friends that were thrilled about it. And some of them were in the teachers unions. And I looked at them and I said, you just wait, they're going to do the same thing to the teachers unions.
Yeah.
I said, you know, I'm an American. I believe in democracy. If the majority says we're going to do this, well, I may not like it, but that's how this country works.
And yeah.
I said, but when you change the rules and you don't give us a chance to comment on it, that's a problem. And sure enough, about 4 years later, they busted the teachers union in New York State using the same method.
Oh,
and I just
man,
sat
yeah.
back and laughed at that
yeah.
point because I was in Wyoming.
Yeah.
So we packed the car up, moved west. And, you know, my daughter's mother, my ex-wife, she grew up in Yorba Linda, California, but she grew up on horses. She rode equestrian in college, and she had worked for the beef industry in New York for a number of years. And so, you know, I came home and said, there's a job open in Cheyenne, Wyoming. What do you think about that? And she goes, when can we go? And we call her a Chris Ledoux groupie growing up.
Yeah.
When Chris was running up and down all those fairs and in California, her and her best friend were running off to all the Chris Ledoux shows they could go to. So she's like, yeah, Wyoming, let's do it. And she almost went to the University of Wyoming, but, you know, the admissions counselor talked her out of it pretty much. You know, like, you're going to die up here your first winter. She'd have been fine, but, you know, she ended up over at UC Davis. And so, yeah, just, you know, it was the perfect community for us and friendly people, and gave me a chance to grow my career. I had never done convention sales. And that's what they hired me to do out here. And so that kind of opened up a new angle of, you know, what I could do. And, you know, over the years, let's see, we're going on 12 and a half years at Visit Cheyenne. You know, I was director of sales and marketing for a while, handled last 5 years I've been their vice president. And right now I'm the interim CEO with the hope and the goal that, you know, within the next 60 days, that's the interim tag's dropped. And we'll get a chance to run with it and continue to do some really bold things at Visit Cheyenne. I mean, there is no other visitors bureau in the country that's putting on 7 rodeos a year.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
A big point of pride for us. And we put on the weekend after Frozen Fury, we put on an event called Winter Nights.
Yeah.
And that's a jousting event. We bring live contact jousting, the Knights of Valor. They come up out of Florida. And there's no other visitors bureaus, you know, that involves risk. You know, like, well, risk, let's do it. We always joke that, you know, we give our staff a long leash. And, you know, it's like, did anybody die from this? And I'm like, this might be the first time that we have to not use that, you know. So, so it's been really cool and I love it. And, you know, my daughter, like I said, she was a 5-year Cheyenne Frontier Day Dandy. She's going to be in the color guard this year. I volunteer, my wife volunteers, my daughter volunteers, my ex-wife volunteers. It's a family, you know, it's just a family thing out there at the rodeo grounds. And it's just a awesome part of community. And we really love it.
I can attest to that too. You know, we just talked about off air, you know, every year I enjoy being there even more, you know, and a lot of it has to do with the, just the family aspect of it all. And it's such a great place for our kids. And like I said, you guys have been doing a fantastic job. And Jim, I sure do appreciate you joining me here today in the woodshed, and just can't wait to kind of see where the community goes over the next, the next year and beyond, you know. And so I sure do appreciate you being in here. Good luck at the Frozen Fury coming up and the Hell on Wheels this next summer.
Those tickets for Frozen Fury are on sale now. So, and we'll be streaming that again. It'll be on Equus.
Perfect.
So, you know, nationwide, we get that out there, and it's such a great event. And you know, that Hell on Wheels rodeo, you know, this year we're going to pass, you know, we've paid out more than $500,000 already, you know, in the young span of what we're doing. And, you know, the thing I love is that's going right back into the cowboys and cowgirls' pockets, and that's what we like to see. So, doing cool things. I mean, I invite anybody, listen, you know, come up and see us in Cheyenne. It's a great place to be. September and October are my favorite months up there, but you know, it's a come up, outdoor recreation, Western heritage, great museums, great breweries, distilleries. Some of the best whiskey in the West is made in Laramie County, Wyoming.
Yeah.
And we're pretty excited, about just continuing to watch ourselves grow.
Yep, I can attest to that as well.
Yeah.
Jim, thank you so much for being here, man. And so, folks, that's another episode here on round number four, day four, if you will, here, the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo, brought to you by Visit Cheyenne. Cody Wood with the Woodshed and with Cody Wood and on Equus Radio Network. And remember, even if you love this live feed, like to listen to it again, make sure to check out any one of the platforms, Spotify, iTunes, any of the platforms you might be able to find. And you can find the Equus Radio Network in the Woodshed with Cody Wood. But for now, Jim, thank you so much again for being here with us today. Folks, you all have a great round number four set up for another great rodeo tonight. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow with another fantastic guest. And we're hoping that he ropes his calf pretty fast here tonight, so he's a little in a good mood tomorrow morning. So just a little teaser of who's coming in tomorrow. So anyway, have a great round four, folks, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.
If you enjoyed the podcast, let us know. Contact Cody Wood at cody@equustelevision.net. Thanks for listening, and join us every week right here on the Equus Radio Network.